Chapter 18, verses 28 through 34. This is the reading of God's Word. Peter said, "Behold, we have left our own homes and followed you." And he said to them, "Truly I say to you, there is no one who has left house or wife or brothers or parents or children for the sake of the kingdom of God, who will not receive many times as much at this time and in the age to come eternal life." Then he took the 12 aside and said to them, "Behold, we are going up to Jerusalem, and all things which are written through the prophets about the Son of Man will be accomplished. For he will be handed over to the Gentiles, and will be mocked and mistreated and spit upon. And after they have scourged him, they will kill him, and the third day he will rise again." But the disciples understood none of these things, and the meaning of this statement was hidden from them, and they did not comprehend the things that were said. Amen. Please be seated. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this precious time of hearing your word. Grant us an ear to hear your word, that our faith will grow and will be more and more like your Son, Jesus Christ. Through your word, let us see our heavenly realities and give you all the glory and thanksgiving. And through your word, let us have that sweet fellowship with our Lord Jesus Christ. And Father, bless us that your word will be preached correctly and we'll all not only believe your word, but also because we believe that we'll obey your word. Bless us and receive all the glory. Pray all this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, our Lord Jesus Christ is accomplishing the kingdom of God, and because he's doing that, the reality of that kingdom is being witnessed also. Especially in this chapter 18, the witness of the citizens of heaven. The reality of the citizens of heaven is witnessed. So our Lord teaching us that the citizens of heaven are like the tax collector of verses 10 through 14. And the citizens of heaven, they are like the children of verses 15 through 17. And in chapter 18, verse 18 through 23, we met someone who is the total opposite of the tax collector and of the children. And that person was the rich young ruler. Jesus told him, "One thing you still lack. Sell all that you possess and distribute it to the poor, and you shall have treasure in heaven, and come follow me." But as we saw, that he loves the riches of this world more than Jesus Christ. And he loves the wealth of this world more than the wealth of heaven. He just could not forsake the world. He became very sad, for he was extremely rich, our passage said. Mark chapter 10, verse 22, "But at these words he was saddened, and he went away grieving, for he was one who owned much property." At this, Peter says in our passage, verse 28, Peter said, "Behold," speaking as the representative of all the disciples, Peter says, "Behold, we have left our own homes and followed you." We have left everything and followed you. Well, Peter is in fact saying that he is, or they are, all the disciples are different from this rich young ruler. And when we read Matthew chapter 19, verse 27, the latter half of that verse, Peter also says, what then will there be for us? Because we have left everything, what will be there for us? And yes, the disciples have left everything and followed Jesus Christ. But they are misunderstanding when it comes to what they will get because of what they have done. We read this in chapter 18, verse 34. But the disciples understood none of these things, and the meaning of this statement was hidden from them, and they did not comprehend the things that were said. And in chapter 19, which you will go probably in 2 weeks, chapter 19, verse 11b, this is what we read. Because he, Jesus, was near Jerusalem, and they supposed that the kingdom of God was going to appear immediately. You could see that to the disciples, the kingdom of God is an earthly kingdom. And to be a citizen is to be wealthy and healthy and powerful in this world. Is Jesus saying in our passage that if you forsake this world, then he will give you more of this world? Of course not. Is Jesus promising that we will be like Job, who lost all of his wealth and family, but at the end, in this world, Job 42, verse 12b, and the Lord increased all that Job had twofold? Is this what Jesus is saying? No. The Old Testament, as you know, is a typological. The heavenly blessings were expressed with the earthly blessings in the Old Testament because heaven has not been accomplished yet by our Lord Jesus Christ. Our Lord is not promising his followers of the things of this world. In fact, if you could find anything that Jesus promises to you in the New Testament that is worldly things, you show me. Other than God telling us not to worry about what to eat, what to wear, and what to drink, he did not promise us anything of this world. But that is what so many people, including those who go to church, they believe that somehow they think Jesus promised earthly things. Where in the Bible do you find that? See, in Matthew 19, verse 28, we have the same story. And there Jesus said to them, truly I say to you that you who have followed me in the generation when the Son of Man will sit on his glorious throne, you also shall sit upon 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. Even there, Jesus is not promising anything of this world. He is promising the blessings of heaven. And another thing to remember is this. Just because you have forsaken everything you have in this world, that does not mean that you have done the will of God. forsaking this world as you desiring more of this world is not doing the will of God. What Jesus is promising when you forsake this world is heaven. There are many people in this world, many in the false religion, who have forsook this world for many reasons other than Jesus Christ and heaven. And they are not doing the will of God, even though they forsook everything they have in this world. Verse 29, Jesus said to them, "Truly I say to you, there is no one who has left house or wife or brothers or parents or children for the sake of the kingdom of God." Who has left house or wife or brothers or parents or children? Jesus is speaking mainly of leaving the family here. But he also says that it must be for the sake of the kingdom of God. Not for any other reason, but for the sake of the kingdom of God. This is very, very important. Matthew 19, verse 29 says, "For my name's sake." Mark chapter 10, verse 29 says, "For my sake and for the gospel's sake." So you are to forsake the world for Jesus Christ and for His name, for the gospel, and for the kingdom of God. Well, they're all speaking the same thing. The same meaning and same purpose. Only for God and His kingdom and His name. But there are, like I said, many people who forsake the world for many different reasons, but that has nothing to do with Christianity. And it's not doing the will of God. And we are not talking about forsaking your family for any other reason. There's no reason that God gives you that you would forsake your family, other than for God and His kingdom. Only when it is between the family and Jesus Christ, when you have to just pick one, you must pick Jesus Christ always. Otherwise, it is God's will for us to take care of our earthly family. 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 4, "But if any widow has children or grandchildren, they must first learn to practice piety in regard to their own family and to make some return to their parents. For this is acceptable in the sight of God." It is God's will for you to take care of your parents as they get old. But if you have to make choice between Jesus Christ and them, of course you have to pick Christ. 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 8, "But if anyone does not provide for his own, and especially for those of his household, he has denied the faith, and it is worse than non-believer, worse than unbeliever." So if there's a guy who refuses to work and is so lazy and does not take care of his own family, he's worse than non-believer, God says. So obviously it is God's will for you to take care of your family. But we cannot love house or wife or brothers or parents or children more than Jesus Christ. And you might face this kind of situation where you have to choose. Yes. Sometimes, is it Christ? Do I follow Jesus or I accept this job? You have to choose. Is it my family or is it Christ? You gotta choose. When it's like that, for us, we choose Jesus Christ. Luke chapter 18, verse 30, who will not receive many times as much as this time and in the age to come eternal life. You know, if I just read verse 30, it kind of says that they will not receive these things. But there will be no one who will not receive many times as much at this time and in the age to come eternal life. Mark chapter 10 verse 30 has this way, but that he will receive 100 times as much now in the present age, houses and brothers and sisters and mothers and children and farms, along with persecutions, and in the age to come eternal life. Here Luke is speaking of two kinds of blessings of heaven. One that we receive in the present age, and the other that we receive in the age to come. The already and not yet of the blessings of heaven. This present age we receive 100 times. God says. Do you realize that if you did leave your family, you received 100 times more? Luke chapter 8, verse 21, but he answered and said to them, my mother and my brothers are these who hear the word of God and do it. Jesus is speaking of the church, the heavenly family, and in the age to come, eternal life. This is what we enjoy as a Christian. Do you realize that your church is the heavenly family? In Christ, you have received more than 100-fold. Because every Christian you know, they're your brothers and they're your sisters. Mark chapter 10 verse 30 tells us that we will receive in this present age 100 times as much. But there it says that we will receive along with persecutions. Thus, forsaking everything and following Jesus is a life of suffering. And when you do that, and even though you receive 100 times more, but along with the persecutions. And that's what happens. Understand that forsaking everything and following Jesus is a life of suffering. And when we look at the verses 31 through 33, we could see that that life is a participation in the life of Jesus Christ. His life here on earth was a life of suffering and death. Luke chapter 18, verse 31 through 33. Then he took the 12 aside and said to them, behold, we are going up to Jerusalem, and all things which we are written through the prophet about the Son of Man will be accomplished. For he will be handed over to the Gentiles and will be mocked and mistreated, spit upon. And after they have scourged him, they will kill him. And third day he will rise again. Jesus, yet again here, predicts his sufferings and death. He is going to Jerusalem. Do you remember Luke chapter 9, verse 31? Who, appearing in glory, were speaking of his departure, which he was about to accomplish at Jerusalem? His departure in Jerusalem. So back then, in chapter 9, we already knew why Jesus is going to Jerusalem. He's going there to die. And dying for our sins. But as we have seen, the disciples think that as soon as they get to Jerusalem, Jesus will establish the earthly kingdom so that they could rule the whole world. That was what disciples were thinking as they go to Jerusalem. And here's Jesus. Can you just picture how lonely he is when it comes to understanding what is going on? He alone understands that I'm going to die. All the disciples following him thinking, whoa, as soon as we get to Jerusalem, kingdom of God will be established and we're going to rule the whole world. It is so much blessing to participate in the life of Christ. And you receive that blessing many times in your life, especially when you are around non-Christian family and they do not understand what is really going on. And you are so lonely in that. You are the only one who understands. And it's not just for non-Christian family. Sometimes even Christians' family, they don't really understand the gospel. And they do not understand what God is doing. He is calling us to participate in the sufferings of Christ. So you understand that your life is about participating in the sufferings of Christ, but everyone else around you think that, well, because I follow Christ, I'm going to be rich and I'm going to be healthy. And when you are lonely like that, be happy. As a pastor, I feel like that so many times. I consider it blessings. Jesus' sufferings and death. Bible says, it is written through the prophets. It says, all things which are written through the prophets about the Son of Man will be accomplished. His sufferings and death are exactly according to the Bible. All according to the plan of God. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 3 and 4, for I delivered to you as of first importance that I also received that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he was raised on the third day according to the Scripture. Brothers and sisters, this was plan of God, that Jesus will suffer and he will die. Nothing just happens. randomly. It's according to God's plan. And this is a very important fact that we must understand, that our suffering in Christ, this is also God's plan. Our Lord Jesus Christ, verse 32, says, He will be handed over to the Gentiles. But Matthew chapter 20, verse 18b through 19a, and the Son of Man will be delivered to the chief priests and scribes, and they will condemn Him to death and will hand Him over to the Gentiles. So, not just hand it over to the Gentiles, but also to the chief priests and scribes, meaning both Jews and Gentiles. All sinners are involved in killing Jesus Christ. Your sins and my sins killed Him. All Jews and Gentiles. We are not to blame anybody else but ourselves. He died for my sins. You know, there are some people, because they believe that Jews killed Jesus Christ, so they hate Jews. But his own sin or her own sin did not kill Jesus? Man, it's just some people are just, they don't get it. It's my sins that killed Jesus. And He will be mocked, mistreated, and spit upon. And after they have scourged Him, they will kill Him, and on the third day He will rise again. Our God becomes a man and goes through all the sufferings and even death exactly according to the Old Testament. Can you picture this? God is mocked and mistreated and spit upon and scourged. And finally they kill Him. And Almighty God just lets them do this to Him because He understands He has to die to save the sinners like you and like me. This is why we're okay when the world looks at us and laughing at us and no respect whatsoever. But that's exactly what they did to Jesus Christ. And it is our joy to participate in His suffering. Don't get mad. Don't get angry. If you see in you what you go through, little glimpse of what Jesus went through, then be very, very happy. Because that's what our purpose is all about, is to be like Christ. It's okay. That too will pass. Nothing lasts forever except heaven, except love of Christ for us. Exactly according to what we find in the Old Testament. Isaiah 50 verse 6, I gave my back to those who strike me, and my cheeks to those who pluck out the beard. I did not cover my face from humiliation and spitting. We see this in Isaiah, and it's talking about what Jesus Christ will do. Isaiah 53, verse 3 to 8. He was despised and forsaken of men, a man of sorrow and acquainted with grief. and like one from whom men hide their face. He was despised and he did not esteem him. You know, you look so bad and so horrible that people actually cover their eyes, cover their face because they don't want to see. Jesus is described this way. Do you understand? Your Lord. Verse 4, surely our griefs he himself bore, and our sorrow he carried. Yet we ourselves esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was pierced through for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The chastening of our well-being fell upon him, and by his scourging we are healed. All of us, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us has turned to his own way, but the Lord has caused the iniquity of us all to fall upon him. He was oppressed, and he was afflicted. Yet he did not open his mouth. Like a lamb that led to the slaughter, he, like a sheep that is silent before his shearers, so he did not open his mouth. By oppression and judgment he was taken away, and for as for his generation, who considered that he was cut off out of the land of living for the transgression of my people, to whom the stroke was due. This was plan of God. God's plan, even before the creation of the universe, it was God's plan for Jesus to suffer and die because of our sins. Bearing our sins and dying on the cross in our places, God promised from the Old Testament. Now Jesus comes and predicts and accomplishes all those promises. In the New Testament, we see the reality of all of his accomplishments for us. The accomplishments of the reality that was perfectly witnessed as he was resurrected from the dead after 3 days. But our passage ends with verse 34. But the disciples understood none of these things, and the meaning of his statement was hidden from them, and they did not comprehend the things that were said. We are reminded of Luke chapter 9, verse 45, but they did not understand this statement, and it was concealed from them so that they would not perceive it. Of course, the disciples understood very well later, after the coming of the Holy Spirit, but at this time, they did not understand what Jesus came to do. And this is the thing, you know, they were together with Christ every single day, and yet they still did not understand. But it was Jesus and him alone at this time, all by himself, accomplished the eternal salvation of his people. No one was able to help him. And that is the point. That's why it was how it was. Because it was only Jesus Christ and only himself accomplishing our salvation. No one helped him. They could not help him. And this is our understanding. Our salvation from the beginning to the end is the work of Christ. You and I, we did not contribute anything when it comes to our salvation. Our eternal life is only by the sufferings and death and the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. He gave it all, even his life to us, who are poor, and he perfectly obeyed the will of God to accomplish our eternal life. 2 Corinthians 8:9, "For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, so that you through his poverty might become rich." Now we who are saved are called to participate in his life of suffering. Philippians chapter 1 verse 29, "For to you it has been granted for Christ's sake, not only to believe in him, but also to suffer for his sake." Do you understand? It was God's will, not only that you believe in Jesus Christ, but you also suffer for Christ. Do you understand the will of God? Don't be like these disciples at this time that they don't understand. So even as Jesus is going to Jerusalem to die, and even as they followed this Jesus, they were thinking as soon as they get to Jerusalem, man, they're going to rule the world. Is that how you think if you follow Jesus? What do you think is going to happen to you? Romans chapter 8, verse 17, "And if children, heirs also, heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with him, so that we may also be glorified with him." Suffer with him so that we may glorify with him. John chapter 15, verse 19, "If you were of the world, the world would love its own. But because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, because of this, the world hates you." That's the fact. And we know, Romans 8, verse 18, "For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that which is to be revealed to us." That is to be revealed to us. And brothers and sisters, did you know that the sufferings in this life is the proof that you are the citizens of heaven? The persecution that we receive in this world is the proof that we belong to heaven. Philippians chapter 1 verse 28, "In no way alarmed by your opponents who will persecute you, which is a sign of destruction for them, but it is a sign of salvation for us." And that, too, from God. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 verse 4 through 5, "Therefore, we ourselves speak proudly of you among the churches of God for your perseverance and faith in the midst of all your persecutions and afflictions which you endure. This is a plain indication of God's righteous judgment, so that you will be considered worthy of the kingdom of God, for which indeed you are suffering." Do you understand? Don't go out and be boastful about how your life is without suffering. That's not a good situation. Suffering, it says, "so that we will be considered worthy of the kingdom of God, for which indeed we are suffering." Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 3, "so that no one will be disturbed by these afflictions. For you yourselves know that we have been destined for this. Do you understand that you are destined to suffer for Christ? Of course, not just any suffering. That's not what we're talking about. So 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 13 to 14, but to the degree that you share the sufferings of Christ, keep on rejoicing, so that also at the revelation of His glory you might rejoice with exultation. If you are reviled for the name of Christ, you are blessed, because the Spirit of glory and of God rests on you. Brothers and sisters in Christ, I want you to understand the truth. You have been saved to be the citizens of the kingdom of God. But you got to understand what that really means. And I'm not talking about just suffering physically. You know, they will put you in a jail or, you know, that will happen too. But suffering takes so many forms. Just looking at the people just sinning right in front of your face, thinking there is just nothing. That's also suffering. And many times you have to tell your friends, no, I can't do that. That's suffering. Sometimes you have to tell your parents. God says to obey your parents. So Friday or Wednesday Bible study, they say, no, don't go. Then you say, okay, I'm not going because you're my parents and I need to obey. But if they tell you, don't worship on Lord's Day, you say, then I'm sorry. I have to obey God. And you disobey your parents and come and worship. But in all cases, we are to obey God. That's the purpose. And when you do, you will find suffering in this world. Because people, the sinners, they're not going to let you alone. You know, sometimes that's what I really wish, just leave me alone. But they don't. They do not leave us alone. But it's okay. It's participation in His suffering. And we are so happy that that is what our lives are all about. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank You. It is so amazing blessings that You called us to participate in the life of our Lord Jesus Christ. Oh Father, it's not easy following Christ. But Father, we know that You are greater than the one who is in the world. And You already accomplished the victory over sin and death in Jesus Christ. And that victory is ours. Let us witness that victory as we live our lives in this world. Bless us and receive all the glory. Pray all this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.